Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday, happy International Women's Day. I have an amazing show, and it just so happens that all the guests are beautiful women. So we're going to talk about International Women's Day, as well as what's going on in their world. But before I go ahead and introduce these beautiful, amazing women, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, in your neighborhood, in your house who needs this information, and they won't be able to learn from today's guest unless you go ahead and share this message with them. So I always invite you to share it, tweet it, text it, but let someone know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends do not let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing the Roundtable Talk Show to your network, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. And our first guest, you have seen her before on the Roundtable Talk Show many times. She joins us just about once a month for about the last year she's been here with us. And I just enjoy when she's on the show because she's one of those people who always has a new update. But for those of you who don't know this lovely young lady, I want to introduce Miss Belle Walker. Belle takes organizations from friction to function by realigning structures and processes with business goals. As the only organizational efficiency engineer she knows, Belle is the perfect resource for leaders looking to recapture lost efficiency and engagement. Belle's approach leverages her engineering background to take a structured approach to organizational design while retaining a focus on the humanity and motivations of the individuals making up the team. Good morning, Belle. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am excellent. You know, I always guest on Mondays because I love kicking off my week with the roundtable.
And I love when you're here. Like I said, you always have an update. That's one of the things that I love about people, the ability to just recreate themselves. So it's almost like we're meeting you for the first time. I know you were here, you were talking, you took us through the whole process of getting ready to start a webinar. Then you came back and told us how it was going, what happened, what you liked, what you learned. So what's going on in your world today, Belle?
Well, we've finished the first cohort of the business bootcamp for nonprofit leaders, which was super exciting. It was really a wonderful experience for both our instructors and our participants. So we've got some great testimonials up on the website, and we'll be running the next session in July. In the meantime, I've been taking my process mapping service to a whole new level. And I want to offer any viewers of your fabulous show a 10% discount if they are interested in talking about process mapping.
Now, if I wasn't interested in talking about process mapping, you offered a discount. I'm a woman. I'm judgmental and sexist. Throw in a discount and I'm like, sign me up. But for those who don't know what process mapping is, tell us a little bit about it, Belle.
Absolutely. Process mapping is a way of visualizing workflows, decisions that need to be made, basically being able to see on a diagram how you get from point A to point B in your business. So I love it because it can be great for laying a foundation to make improvements when you know you want to be faster, better, stronger, however you want to do it. If you don't know where you are now, very difficult to get effectively to that next level. Also, it's great for training purposes. So being able to show someone, here's how we flow through, here's how we do our work in our organization.
I need that. Because one of the things that I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, Belle, because you're the expert, is that too often when you go into a company, the company will talk about their vision and their mission statement and what they believe in. And then you actually start working with the company and you find out their company's culture is completely different than what that initial conversation was. And I believe part of that reason is because the company hasn't actually taken a look at their processes and their procedures and what actually makes up the company.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what I love about process maps is they really lay a foundation for having those conversations, right? Oftentimes they bring to light contradictions, challenges, issues that you wouldn't see otherwise.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Bill, again, you're here every Monday talking to us. Now, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you do, but Allison Allman, who's the organization maven, she's watching today. And Allison is here every Tuesday. And she said, good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Allison. Of course, I remember Allison. She is wonderful.
Yes. So I love some Allison. She's here with us, the organization maven, every Tuesday. Now, Bill, I am going to come back to you. You know, I enjoy talking to you, but I just want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, International Women's Day, the lovely Rosalind Robb. Rosalind is a passionate small business cleaning owner and consultant with the sole aim of helping others. Rosalind caught a vision after engaging in several Louisville Human Trafficking Task Force meetings. She decided to create a business that would elevate domestic work and advocate for human trafficking victims while giving back to organizations helping the most vulnerable. Good morning, Rosalind. How are you?
Morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's a great morning to be here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you for having me or joining me. Tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. So as you shared a little bit of my bio, I am a huge human trafficking victim advocate. I'm also a lover of all things cleaning. I was adopted from the Philippines at 3.5 years old. And my mom mentions that the day after we came back to the States, I was like organizing and cleaning. She goes, oh, goodness gracious, what I've gotten myself into. So it's been very natural. But the reason why I am a huge human trafficking victims advocate is because it really hits home to me. My biological mother is a domestic, you know, worker. She was a housekeeper in Manila and was taken advantage of. And that's honestly how I came out to be. And so here I am in the States and have a different story. But just realizing that, you know, as I created a business that I pay people, you know, way above the minimum wage, you know, at least 16 an hour, I'm able to elevate domestic work and saying, hey, you know, people need to be seen for what they do. And it's not just, you know, something that, you know, doesn't deserve praise. It's hard work, it's back-breaking work. And so I'm excited to be able to elevate that and to promote. And so in Louisville area that I do, we'll do mostly East End homes. And honestly, the area of human trafficking is not as common, even though we have the Derby, and that's a huge area, as well as other major sports events that get a lot of publicity. But I wanted people to understand that human trafficking isn't just at those big events. It's happening in our backyards. And so being able to honestly help the East End really realize this is an issue in our own city, I think has been a great opportunity to come alongside, like I said, those nonprofits that are working hard, that don't have the funding that they need. And so I really wanted to create a business where I was able to bring in revenue to give to those nonprofits. As far as currently, I'm a military spouse. My husband and I got married 3 years ago this month. So he was finishing his residency in Dayton, Ohio when I met him. And we moved in June to Texas. So I am definitely a business owner and 1,000 miles away. I still have my incredible cleaning company with incredible employees. But in October, I realized I needed to pivot my business as a military spouse. And so I thought, wow, like, why reinvent the wheel? Let's take things that I learned, the good and the bad and the ugly in the cleaning industry, and let me help other small cleaning company owners, which I didn't have that support. And so I'm very passionate about that. And so it's been exciting. I've been able to work with folks from New Zealand, Australia, UK, US, Canada, in the last several months, and really encourage them in the work that they do. So
I love it. You had your presentation, your elevator pitch ready. You went from every point, every question I would have asked, you went ahead and answered. Happy anniversary to you guys for 3 years. I think that's amazing. Happy anniversary for having a wonderful business for so long. That's amazing. Thank you for doing what you're doing for everyone else, not only cleaning the homes, but helping with human trafficking. And I think it's wonderful. And I love the fact that you are focused on elevating that image, because I'm one of those people who is spoiled. And I don't do anything for myself at all. You know, I have someone who comes in and cleans. And I do that because I've learned the value of my time. I don't do it because I feel like someone is beneath me. I have my laundry goes out. My, you know, I'm like Postmates poster child, you know, as far as customers. Like, I need someone to do something for me, but I don't look down on those other people. Now, when you say a support group for other companies starting out or owners, why did you feel the need to have a support group?
You know, as all of us have different businesses like Belle and you all, I mean, business can be very lonely. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to create, you know, that community where folks could talk about the good and the bad and the ugly. I think a lot of times people who are not familiar with entrepreneurship or just starting a company, like, oh, you can work your own hours. That's great. You can take vacations whenever you want. And I'm like, I worked 100-hour work weeks my first 2 years of business. Like, I had no vacations. I had no this and that. And so I felt like it was really just a great opportunity to be honest about, hey, let's talk about, you know, my first blog post that I wrote about was my first bad review. What did I learn from that? And I think that really resonated with people.
You're going too far, too fast. Let's talk about this bad review. Let's dive into this. What happened? We need some details and some reference points.
Okay, well, there you go. So, you know, as a cleaning business owner, you know, you're starting out and Louisville is a smaller city. And so, you know, your reputation, my integrity first is extremely important. You know, it comes to integrity, it comes to serving others. You know, we're in customer service. And the big thing that I say about cleaning, yes, we offer quality cleaning, but as I tell my team, I have a fabulous team that I 100% trust, is that, you know, we're building trust. That's what we're really giving people. I mean, it is an honor to be anyone's home, whether it's an apartment or if it's a 20,000 square foot home. Like, you're being allowed into somebody's home, and that's a privilege and an honor. And so anyway, it was my first year of business. It was 2014, and cleaned for this one lady, and I was not on the home. I had two team members, and it was an apartment. And what should have honestly taken probably like 2.5 hours at the most took over 6 hours worth of cleaning. And they sent me some photos of like, hey, here's the ceiling fans. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's like 3 inches deep of dust, you know? And so they finished it. I don't think they had another home. So it wasn't like they were rushed. Well, anyway, this was actually Thumbtack, which is a service kind of like Angie's List and different things where you can get, you know, leads. And so I'm in at the end of the night or like in the evening, I get an alert on my email that says, hey, somebody left you a review. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And so I look at it, and I mean, there was language, there was caps. I mean, she was just unhappy with what we did. And it just shocked me because I'm sitting here, I'm like, I saw pictures, like I know my team, like they did a great job. So I had to step back a little bit. I said, okay, when I call her, because this is a phone call, this is not a, hey, let me just hash it out on, you know, social media or Instagram or Thumbtack. But, you know, I stepped back and I said, hey, I want to be able to be at the point of, I want to listen, not, I want to be defensive. I want to listen. And if there are areas that we messed up, I need to own that, you know, because integrity here is at line. I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. So I picked up the phone and I called her and she just went on and on about how terrible it was and all this. And so she mentioned two things that I remember off the top of my list. She said there was some syrup still on the counter or on the kitchen table. And I'm very upset about that. And then she also mentioned that one of the kitchen faucets, or I think it was actually a bathroom sink, like one of the faucets had water marks on it. I said, oh, I'm so sorry about that. And so she's going on and on. And so I just said, you know, would you be willing? I said, I know this is extra work for you. I don't know if you've already cleaned, you know, and redid what we were supposed to do, but can I go back and tomorrow morning and, you know, will you leave the door unlocked for me to come in? And so I did. I went back and she asked me during that time, she said, well, if you come back, do you want me to take down the review? I said, no, I don't. I said, I know we're not perfect. I said, but I do believe that if you leave that review, like our work is going to speak for itself. So if that's how you truly feel about our service, then leave it up.
That's wonderful. I want to talk about that some more. I have some more questions, but I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest. Again, we are here celebrating International Women's Day. Wonderful woman joining us, Ms. Jennifer Bradley. At Jennifer Bradley Skincare and Cosmetics, they take immense pride in offering medical grade skincare products and cruelty-free makeup to their customers. They bring a passion for makeup and a zest for offering exclusive products that can help enhance their clients' skin to leave it looking and feeling healthy and radiant all day long. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? How do I make this bigger?
Not sure yet, but we can see you loud and clear.
You can see me? Hi. Yeah. So to introduce myself, I'm actually a skincare and cosmetic developer. I've been in this industry for over 18 years. I've had my own business for 18 years, but I've been in the makeup and skincare industry for almost 30 years. I started out as a performer. I used to be on television doing TV shows, commercials. I was also a singer and an actor in live performances. So I started out as someone, as a consumer who really needed product that would get my skin clear. And a lot of the makeups that were out there, they did not match my skin tone. And I know that this has been a problem for many, many years. They never had colors that matched people's skin properly, whether you had really, really light skin or if you had really dark skin. They only really catered to this one segment of the population. It was just this little amount that would fit people's skin tone. That was an issue. And the other issue was that the ingredients in almost all of the products had either fragrances or emollients that would create intense breakouts. And it just became an absolute mission of mine, not just to clear up my skin. Now it's been kind of a passion of mine to help people. We've been able, especially through social media, we've been able, by growing this company, this particular business, we've been able to help thousands upon thousands of men and women all around the world with issues such as acne, rosacea, signs of aging, you name it. And it's truly transforming. It's transformational. When you can help someone with their skin in a way that makes them feel confident about themselves, it changes their lives. And I hear this almost at least once or twice a week, that what we have done for them is truly life-changing. I mean, I just, as from a personal standpoint, I never thought in a million years I would be able to even be seen in public or on a live show right now. I don't even have foundation on. I used to have such bad skin that I didn't even want to leave the house. And I know that that can be really frustrating for young people, for anyone of all ages, of all skin tones, when you don't have products that can help your skin get better. And a lot of times the things that you use to cover up can make things get worse. It can be very damaging to your psyche. So it's just so rewarding to help people. It's something that I feel that it's not just about the outside what we're doing. We're helping so many people from the inside out. So sometimes it's amazing how there are people that felt like they couldn't get a job, they couldn't leave their house, they just couldn't be truly who they were or who they wanted to be, how they wanted to be seen. So it's as much as it sounds very superficial, I think it's much deeper.
I don't think it sounds superficial at all. That's superficial was not the word that came to mind. I think it's beautiful, and I think it's a reflection on us as a society, as a culture. Because in this last year, is one of the things that I struggle with. I announced the Roundtable Talk Show on the 3rd of March of 2020, and I was going out, and I had gotten my hair done, and my life was pretty normal. And then COVID hit, and all the beauty salons shut down, and I was no longer even able to get my hair done. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I just launched this show. And people were like, what are you gonna do? And I'm like, I'm gonna throw my hair in a ponytail, and I'm gonna keep the show going. And then like over a year, like at first I was like, let me put on my makeup and everything. Look, over 200 episodes. And 1 year later, all I have is lipstick. That's all I can do. Like that's the extent of what I can do. So we change as women, I believe.
There have definitely been some major changes with how people take care of themselves. We've actually launched a shampoo. Speaking of hair, we just launched a shampoo and a conditioner that actually helps to grow your hair back in thicker and stronger and healthier. And it really helps with all types of hair. If you have really curly hair, really dry hair, it is so hydrating. It has shea butter because we are doing a lot less. We're doing things differently. Where our focus now is not as much the makeup as our skincare, you know, the skincare and the shampoo, the conditioners, things that really can condition your skin, that has been overwhelmingly successful.
Yes, absolutely. So let's go back to one of the original things you said. So you sing. So do we get a song?
I'll sing whatever you like. I don't know anything off the top of my head to sing. What?
That's a stall technique. You got something. You sang some song. I don't care if it's happy birthday. You got a song.
All right. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. I only can think of that because I have John Lennon on my wall. And I'm not singing on my wall early in the morning, but that's all I can do.
It was wonderful. Bravo. Jennifer, I am going to come back to you, but I just want to go ahead and introduce my very next guest. Again, it is International Women's Day. We have some amazing women with us today, and we're going to introduce Dr. Z. Dr. Z is a medical spa owner and director and respected thought leader and innovator in the medical cannabis community. As an executive nursing and doctorate of family medicine practitioner with more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Z provides healthcare for acute care, emergency services, and trauma care, and also helps patients find medical cannabis treatment options. Good morning, Dr. Z. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you all? And let me just say that the women that preceded me, every single one of them, I've written little notes on so that I can recontact them because processing mapping is very important for my business. Roslyn with the human trafficking is very near and dear to me because I used to take care of homeless people that were trafficked and brought to the state of New Jersey for trafficking. So from my world, that is an instrumental individual, what you're doing. And by partnering also with people that are in a lower socioeconomic class of people and increasing their pay, you've also provided some safety net for them so they don't feel the need to possibly be manipulated as readily. So that being said, and Jennifer, your skin is glowing. I do the medical side, and I have to tell you, I don't sell product anymore, but you and I should talk because if everybody's skin looks like yours, we're in. those are the things that I saw just from this, my first foray here. So back to my business. I have four of them. One is the medical cannabis business, and I sit on the governor's committee in the state of Maryland for opiate addiction. My goal for the cannabis was to take people off their opiates, their hypnotics, and sedatives. So we decreased the dependency in this community of opiate and the addictive properties, or as we call it now, SUD, substance use disorder. So that is what I've been able to do, is take people off of their opiates. And this is how medical cannabis is helping them. I have over 3,000 plus patients in my panel. So it is a busy practice. I take care of cancer patients. I get referrals from Johns Hopkins, people that are on transplant lists because they're usually on some opiates and we want to taper them off. So really the business, when I first started, there was not a dispensary open. And then I developed the relationships and they started opening up. So now I go to an underserved community in Cambridge, Maryland, and I help that population of patients because there is a little bit of a higher percentage of opiate use there. So we're getting great results. I see 20 to 24 patients every Tuesday there. Then in the evening, I go to a salon there and do Botox for the frivolous things that in that community, because there are people that do need some skin care and that Botox and filler. I also do medical weight loss. The other part of my business is that I run a ketamine clinic for major depressive disorder and chronic regional pain. So ketamine has a negative rap, but ketamine is not the way you think it is in the streets. It is under direct supervision with an infusion for 40 minutes. It helps people that have medication treatment failure from multiple antidepressants. Some people, it does not work. Some people will go through ECT, which is electric convulsive therapy. It is a shock therapy. It is a complex system, but we have seen great, great results with ketamine infusion. So that is another part of my business. Subsequently, I'm a little tired from all the businesses, but I love what I do. And there's nothing greater than having the autonomy of presenting to my patient and not someone knocking on my door, like in primary care, hurry up, you got 15 minutes of fame with the patient. I did not like that philosophy. I did not like that I didn't know my patients. So even though I have a large practice, they spend time with me. And my medical weight loss get an hour in their first appointment. All my Botox and fillers are an hour, which seems extravagant, but it's important for me to know about their skin. If their skin's not healthy, and Jennifer, I see you nodding. If their skin's not healthy, what is the point of my overfilling and Botoxing them? None. So I am definitely about the health of the patient. That's why I do the medical weight loss component as well. So that is kind of where I see my niche in this world and having to have my hands in so many different areas. And the other part is that I'm working on my postdoctorate for psychiatric care. So I'll do psychotherapy because I believe that you should wrap services around patients. And that wrapping of services helps my patients that are trafficked, my patients that have depression, my patients that are domestic violence, because I see a lot of that and I get them to shelters because of my homeless work in the past. I saw most incredible 5 years of my life was working with the homeless population. And we built that practice. We had a nurse, a social worker, and myself, and we built it to 21 strong and won a governor's award for that in New Jersey. And it was probably one of the most rewarding businesses. And now I'm able to do something very similar in the sense that I have a population of people that need support. So I'm in their safety net.
Well, congratulations. You sound like Rosalind working those 100-hour work weeks. That's going to be a new book. Yeah. Instead of the 4-day work week, we have a 100-hour work week. Dr. Z, have you seen the movie The Pharmacist on Netflix?
I saw parts of it. Yes.
I was just kind of blown away by this doctor who is seeing about 100 or something patients a night and just starting this opioid epidemic in this city. So I was just, for the parts that you saw, did you have any thoughts on it?
Oh, absolutely. So so I worked in West Virginia and I helped, the FBI was involved. They stole my DEA number and they were writing prescriptions when I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So I got a call from the pharmacist that said, "Hey, Dr. Rajnik, were you here on such and such date? Did you write for all these opiates?" I'm like, I'm not even in town then because it was a contract. And so I had to call the DEA, but in the county that I called the DEA in, they did not answer. So I called the DEA in DC. In 24 hours, 3 DEA officers met me in Montgomery County, Maryland, where I live, and they shut the door. And I'm like, whoa, I'm not the one that caused the problem here. I'm reporting a problem. So we ended up closing this clinic. And it was amazing. So yes, I totally get it. But some of the problems lie in the fact responsible writing of narcotics. We as professionals have a responsibility to the person sitting in front of you. That's it. My responsibility is to you or who's ever in front of me. My writing 560 Percocet is not responsible to the person in front of me. And that is what's happening out there. It was complete disregard, graft, money under the table, charging for services that weren't real. So yes, I have a very strong opinion and that is why I shifted to try to get people off their opiates.
That is powerful, that is wonderful. And we talked a little earlier with Rosalyn about reputation. Now your reputation is impeccable. You have this lady who left this bad review. She offered to remove the review and you said, "Hey, no, leave it. If that's how you feel, that's what I want, the truth." Now, did she go back and add an update to this review or what happened? Like now I'm tuning into your story.
So I went back the next day and I brought a little plant. And you know, when I reread the review, I mean, there was language, it was capped. You could tell she was really angry. you know, she was definitely angry on the phone too. So I was able to de-escalate. And I think really what I learned was you just need to listen. You know what I mean? You need to listen and let her say whatever she wants to say. Don't be defensive. But I wrote her a little note and I just said, hey, you know, thank you for letting me come back and redo. And I owned up. Yes, there was syrup on the counter a little bit. We should have gotten that. So I was able to do that. Now, did I say, but we were here for 6 hours? You know, no, I didn't. And so she came home that night and she called me and she was crying on the phone. And she said, wow, thank you so much for your kind note. Thank you so much for coming back. She goes, I'll admit to you, I was really upset because she goes, it was $200 for the cleaning, which is a lot. I mean, you know, for her, but she was just like, you know, I'm tight with my money. And she said, but honestly, she mentioned that her daughter was in jail, that she was a grandmother who was taking care of her granddaughter who was two and a half, three years old by herself and just was worn out. And so I stepped back and I think this is such a great reminder for us when we get those bad reviews is it's not always about us. You know, and so she did. So she said, hey, I just want you to know. So I didn't say anything. Or I mean, I felt, you know, empathize with her, but she said, I want you to know that I already called Thumbtack. I told them to take down the review and I wrote you a really nice review. And so and it was just, you know, she did not have it. I told her, you do not have to do that. You know, of course my heart goes out to her. I'm like, thank you so much for sharing something so personal. I was like, you know, is there anything I can do? Like, can I come over and help babysit one night so that you can just go out to Target or something for an hour? Just, you know, and so that's just my heart. And it's just a reminder that other people are going through battles that we don't know. So when we hear these things, see, you know, are there things that are legit? Like, yes, we had syrup on the thing. But what is it that they may also be struggling with that's not, you know, none of our business in a sense, but they may be using us to just, you know, go off on. And so
I think that story also really lays the foundation for how important the sort of consulting work that you're doing is creating those peer groups in general, right? Because I mean, I'm in awe of your patience and compassion. Mm-hmm. And I have days where I hope I can reach that same level of patience and compassion. And I have my days where with the client, I might be able to put that face on, but I need an outlet, right? And that's not, I imagine there's a little bit of stress on your side as well. And being able to have a safe space where you can get that out of your system, that's what peer groups like that are all about. You can't go to your client and say, by the way, I'm a little frustrated. You can't really go to your employees and share that. And so I really appreciate what you're doing to enable other business owners to be able to externally show that kind of compassion and still be able to implement the self-care where they can get their own feelings and reactions out into the world.
Yes, that was a powerful word there, Bill, that self-care, because when Dr. Z was speaking, all I could just think was, what do you do for self-care, Dr. Z?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do a lot of great things for self-care, believe me. I went to the salt caves. I had a spiritual reading done, and I get massage. And I, you know, during COVID, life changed a lot. So I had to pivot and create an app and, you know, life slowed down for 3 months in the aesthetics business.
Like wait a minute. Dr. Z, I said, what do you do for self-care? Dr. Z said, I created an app. Work, Dr. Z. I like the salt mines and the spiritual reading, but somehow I see the way you think. You go right back to work, Dr. Z. I got work to do.
Exactly, because I was scared that part of my business, my stream of income was shut down, the spa. It's like you couldn't get a haircut, my patients couldn't get their skin tended to. And that's a big source of income because, you know, Botox and filler is not very cheap.
Right.
So, you know, I had to like let that part of my business go during this period of time. So I created an app for my patients to be able to communicate with me. If they couldn't get to their doctor, then I would fill their prescriptions for hypertension and we would do a blood pressure check. So you'd kind of like key in to help people. And it also helped me financially. So that's mm-hmm. self-care.
Oh, I like Dr. Z. Dr. Z said it helped me financially. That is self-care. Jennifer, you smiling, you glowing. I love the fact that you said that you don't even have foundation on. Because I was looking at your skin. Mm-hmm. Your skin is beautiful. I would have assumed that you have foundation, concealer, all kind of stuff on.
I put my brows on and my eyes on, but very quickly, but I didn't put my foundation on yet. I was kind of scrambling to get ready very quickly. I was confused about the time difference because I'm in Florida. So I was having a time issue, but thank you for saying that. It sounds like Dr. Z, I need to send you some product and you can do some more self-care. And Rosalyn, I would love to be able to send all of you some things because I think that all of you would benefit. And I have to say one thing, I'm very touched by hearing Rosalyn's story. I'm very touched by hearing what Dr. Z does and you, Belle, as well. All of you beautiful ladies, and thank you, Sharifa, for bringing me on the show. This has been this is a fantastic group of women doing tremendously awesome things, helping people with their business, Belle. That is something that I think all women should be doing is helping other women and men in business these days. We all need to be supporting business. And Rosalyn, help doing what you're doing to have that foresight when you handled that review really is, I'm going to tell you, I have not handled myself sometimes in that in such a mature way. It can be difficult when you get attacked online, especially sometimes you just can't make everybody happy. But the fact that you went above and beyond, I have to say that we have, I think 50,000, almost 85,000 customers or something like that. And we have such phenomenal reviews, and it really does you have to come from a humble place, and it comes from having a place of care. And it seems like all these women here on this panel have big hearts and a very big place of care. So yes. It comes from a good place. So that's really, that's really special.
Yes. I think the point about where you come from is super important too, mm-hmm. right? For the work that all of us do, but particularly coming back to your comment about potentially seeming superficial, I think that you can't judge from the outside, right? Mm-hmm. My heart goes out to women who spend a lot of time on makeup and their outside appearance because of other people's judgment, pressure, etc. But women who want to take that same time for themselves, where what they put on their face, what they do with their skin is a reflection of their confidence and the way they want to present to the world, I love that. Right. You can't just look at someone and see, oh, you've got a lot of makeup on and know anything about them. Right. They could be the most confident, self, assured woman in the world. They could also be terrified. Right. And, I think it's really important to remember that how we present is up to us.
It's individual and every person's decision on how they wish to present themselves is that it's unique, and we should embrace that. It's one of the questions that I get all the time. I don't know how to make my screen bigger. I don't tell you that, but the thing that we get all the time is we get questions from people saying, can I wear this lipstick? Can I wear this type of color? Will this work for me? And I always say, first of all, I make colors that work for everybody, no matter what. And as a vet in this industry for so long, I've tested these colors on every single skin tone. I know that you can wear, I don't care who you are, your age, doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is, you can wear anything you want. If that makes you feel good, you should try it. You should try it and give it a shot. If that makes you feel confident for you to wear green eyeshadow, go right ahead. And I think that's what makes skincare and cosmetics so fun too, is because you can be creative. It's not necessarily about, oh, I need to do this to, if I don't wear this type of makeup, am I going to be unattractive? No, it's about being creative and showing self-expression.
But I think it's changed as well, because we used to live in a society, especially pre-COVID, where you really, if you went to work, you put on makeup. Like, I have friends, especially one of my friends, who literally spends 2 hours every morning putting on makeup. 2 hours. I'm like, how do you do that every morning? But for her, if her face doesn't have her makeup on it, She's not going. That's just how she is. And she does that every day to go to work. A lot of people, I know other people now who used to wear not maybe 2 hours worth of makeup, but, you know, put on some makeup. Now in COVID, no makeup. They've been makeupless for a year. And we're like, it's okay. You know, we have
totally Zoom, fine.
You know, so I definitely want some of that shampoo because I don't care. I put my hair in braids. I'm like, whatever it takes, I'm comfortable now in my own skin. So, hey, people have different opinions. Rosalind, 2 hours on makeup or 10 minutes? What do you do?
Oh, my husband said the greatest gift that my dad gave him was when I was little. My dad one time said, you take too long showers. So I'm a very like, I'm going to prove you wrong. Well, I'm like a 5 minute out in the shower, out the shower, dry my hair. Yeah, I'm Speedy Gonzalez when it comes to that. Throw a little bit of powder on and I'm done.
No, but I also like the way you handled that review. I thought that was marvelous. I thought the fact that you went above and beyond, you went back the next day, you even offered to babysit for this lady. I mean, you wanted to make sure you rolled out the red carpet. And I'm more like Jennifer, you know, I can go off sometimes. And people, like I went off on LinkedIn the other day, like last week, I literally went off on LinkedIn. And people were, another guy actually emailed me. I was like, Sharifa, you can't say that. You could have just removed it. And I was like, I obviously could have handled it 100 different ways, but that is the way I chose to handle it. Because let me tell you, this lady has been my LinkedIn connection for some time, and she apparently doesn't like me. So every time I make a post, she comments something that's just negative, and she just makes some little, you know, comment. And so finally I said, she called me at the wrong time, on the wrong day. And I said, okay, I'm gonna show you how I'm gonna handle this. So I created a post that started off with her name. And I literally said, you are starting to irritate me. I said, and you are testing my patience and my civility. If you don't like me, just remove me as a connection. And she wrote something. She's like, she says, you have never heard me say that I don't like you. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I've never heard you say it, but just by the context of your comments, I can kind of infer that you don't. And again, if you don't, just remove me, you know? And then people like, you didn't have to do that. That doesn't look good. That's not a good look. I don't care. Join me in saying, I don't care. You know why? Because out of the one person in the world that doesn't like me, I got about 20,000 that do. So even with reviews, I you know, and I'm not to say that I won't, because most likely they'll come out of the woodwork now, but I've never received a bad review on any platform. So I always look at it like, if I have 100 wonderful reviews, and then I get one person who says, Sharifa's so arrogant, nobody likes her, I'll just leave it, because I'm like, let's kind of weigh and balance. I'm more of a weigh and balance kind of person. Am I alone, Belle?
No, definitely not. Although I'm gonna take that sort of underlying theme and run it back to something else that Rosalind said, if you don't mind, because at the very beginning, she made a reference to how she pays, right? And that it's way above minimum wage. And I think particularly on International Women's Day, it's so important to recognize what is often the invisible, undervalued work around the house. And the only way we're going to change that is by making it clear the value of childcare, the value of domestic chores, right? The house has to get cleaned. Someone has to do that. And there is value in taking the house from wherever it is to a place where people can live healthily and happily. And so I really appreciate that you take care of your team members, and that by doing so, you are setting a broader standard for our economy and for our culture to emphasize the value of that work.
Yes.
Belle's good. She's good.
Huh? Huge turnover rate in the, you know, in the residential or commercial industry, you know, and that's, I have to tell people, is like, that's what I'm so passionate about, is building a solid company from within. It starts from within. It starts from leadership. It starts from, you know, you as an owner saying, hey, not only are you paying them, but let's invest in them. You know, spend time getting to know them, because that's one of the beauties of my companies. I've had people for 4.5, 5+ years, business has been 7 years. People have, you know, graduated from college and moved on or moved. But listen to them. What are they passionate about? How can that be incorporated into your business? It's not just my business. It's our business. And so whenever I have a chance, when I'm at a client's home or whatever, like I love saying, you know, Robbie this, or, you know, Jessica, or, you know, Devin, or, you know, and name the person, not just, hey, your team's coming. Like, I want them to know who my team is. And I talk about them highly because that's how much I value them. So I agree. A lot of people, right? We all leave jobs if we don't feel valued.
Right.
Absolutely. It helps their self-esteem. I mean, you are keying into something that they may very well have a family that could be abusive or violent, and they're the principal breadwinner, and they've got to go out and do this. And here you are elevating their self-esteem in this role, because a lot of people that are doing domestic services are not, and they're just put in as, you know, the name of the company, and they move in and move out. And I believe that you'll have loyalty, and you also have people that want to do more for you and for the customer, because you have elevated their self-esteem. So kudos to you, Rosalyn. Amazing.
One thing I tell my team all the time in our team meetings, you know, riches come and go, but relationships don't. And so let's focus on that. You know, at the end of the day, when I'm in the grave, it's not how much money I have in my, you know, bank account. It's the memories when people come up to your funeral and share. Are they good memories or are they bad memories? You know what I mean? Like, how have we impacted people? That's what I want. I want to impact our clients. I want to impact my team. And then again, the human trafficking, you know, advocacy, that's huge. So thank you guys. And Belle, I think, you know, you do phenomenal work. One thing I think Dr. Oz that I probably need is how to work smarter and not harder. Because a lot of times it's like, well, I'm working 100-hour work weeks. And then, you know, now that I've been in business for 7 years, I'm like, gosh, some of the things that I did could have been a whole lot more efficient if I had had the right processes in place. And that's what I do in my consulting. It's like, hey, let's stop here. Let's look. Are we just running, you know, on this treadmill and not getting anywhere? Or are we going? And I'm sure, Dr. Oz, you're way ahead of me. So you're probably a lot more organized than I am. I'm the big picture, and I need someone like you, Belle, to be like, hey, this is how we get from point A to point B.
But I also think it's a mindset, Rosalyn. So many entrepreneurs believe that they have to have that running energy, that they always have to be running here, running there, running there. And that's what they believe, that they always have to be putting out a fire. I got to put out this fire. And it's like a mindset that that's what they feel they have to do. And if they're not, and there's peace and quiet and harmony, then their business is not operating, because that's what we teach entrepreneurs. One of the things that I always tell entrepreneurs is, no, you're not supposed to spend your day putting out fires. If you are, then you do not have the correct processes and procedures in place. You should have an occasional fire. Like every 5 or 6 years, something should, you know, get set on fire. But if it's happening every day, then you have not created this business correctly. You haven't set it up correctly. And that's what I help people do, is to have an occasional fire and not a daily fire. Jennifer, I wanted to talk to you because we talked about makeup and how we use makeup and how it helps his self-esteem. But one of the things that you mentioned is that there are a lot of people who just simply have bad skin, you know, and for them, they may be afraid to go out the house. Maybe they don't want to go out on that first date because they're like, have you seen my skin? So you help people work with their self-esteem as well.
Yes. And I was trying to put my screen bigger, but I can't. It just won't let me do it on my Mac. So I've tried everything.
But it's huge for us. That's why it won't allow you, because like you're taking up the entire screen.
Okay. So this what I was about to say is one thing that Dr. C was saying is that she spends a lot of time, like an hour with her clients to get to know them. We have an actual online concierge service that's 24/7, but now it's like from early in the morning until very, very late at night. You can go to www.jenniferbrelli.com. We ask a lot of questions and we really spend a lot of time listening to our clients. And we probably ask more questions than if you were to go to a makeup counter. They're not going to ask you all of these questions. A lot of times they don't care. They just want to sell you the lipstick. That's all they care about is making that sale. We ask a lot of questions because we want to get to the root of the problem. We want to get to the root of the situation and create a lifetime of great skin, not something that's just going to be a band-aid that's going to cover something up and rip it off. We want you to have skin that you're going to be, this that is a lifetime solution. And that creates that creates a lifetime client. And I love what you guys were saying about, you know, minimum wage and elevating the people in your workspace. I feel like in our, the culture of Jennifer Bradley Skincare and Cosmetics, number one, we pay well over minimum wage for everybody that works with us.
Let's talk about that, Jennifer. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to be able to make sure we get all your points in. Dr. Z, I know we have you here for a limited amount of time. I just wanted your takeaway for our audience real quick.
Absolutely. One of the things I want the audience to know is I always use an acronym when I'm like, because that's just the way I think. So my acronym is HEAL, H-E-A-L. Get healthy, enjoy life, advocate for people, love ourselves, and love others. And thank you very much for today.
Absolutely. I
thank
love it.
Thank you for being here, Dr. Z.
Yes.
Thanks, ladies. Love meeting you all.
We have to heal. Jennifer, I want to go back to you because I cut you off. I wanted you to finish your thought on, to finish your thoughts.
Well, I was just saying that it's when if it, let's say you had a question about skincare, cosmetics, and even if you needed a foundation match, which is you can't because we can't go into stores to try product. So we have this, the website, jenniferbradley.com. They can go to the website. We ask a lot of questions and we also match their foundation by looking at their photos. And we have such good, amazing customer service to where it's, you know, 30-day money back guarantee, easy exchanges. We like no questions asked. We just fix the problem. And what I was saying earlier about me not handling a review as well as Rosalyn at only, and I,
what did you do, Jennifer? What
I'll
did you do?
What I did. I think this is a very important thing that needs to be said too. You as Sir Sharifa, just as you were standing up for yourself, if someone is saying something that is about your business that is completely and totally not true, you, it's not that the customer is always right unless they are not telling the truth. And it is, I think as women, we must stand up for ourselves. I've had issues. I've not had issues. I've had instances where I'm live on camera and people know that I'm a genuine, people get this feeling of me of that they're my friend, that they're, I'm a genuine person because I treat everybody as if they are family. If you become a client of mine, if you are even someone that I just met, I generally treat everybody with just the same amount of love and respect. Sometimes people take that as an opportunity to just mess with you for no reason. So, you know, I've had people be critical of me while I'm live on camera and say things that are just literally not true. And Rosalyn, and what I did was this, I just said to that person, and it was really funny. I just said, I just want to make sure that everyone understands that what this person is saying is absolutely not true because we have an actual record of the conversation that this person was having with my customer service team. And if someone's going to lie about my business, then I'm not going to let somebody lie about my business. It wasn't like we left syrup on the table. It wasn't like we did anything wrong. She was saying that she was going to customer service and wasn't getting an answer when I'd already seen that she'd already gotten her answer, not only promptly, politely, she'd been answered live on camera. She'd been answered by 10 different people. And it was amazing how, when I actually stood up for myself, that woman now is so nice and so kind and so gracious. Sometimes you have to stand up for yourself and you have to not allow people to take your kindness and no, step on it. You know,
I agree, Jennifer. People handle things in different ways. And right. I'm just a very upfront person.
Right.
You know, and I remember when I did the IPO, we raised about $6 million and we had so many comments on social media. And my rule of thumb then was no comment goes unanswered. So whether it was positive, okay, negative, I always left a response. However, if a person said anything that was horrible or untrue or just completely negative, I would just delete it. And so the person working the campaign for me at the time, he said, Sharifa, you know, you just deleted. I said, well, if someone came to your house and they wrote, painted on the front of your house, fuck you, would you leave it there? No. And they were like, no. I said, that's the same way. This is my page. This is my house. You know, and you're not just going to disrespect my house. You know, we can have a conversation, but when you're insulting, you're just making up stuff and you're there just to be negative, that I have to remove that energy from what we're doing. And that's exactly what I did. But I also try to tell people, don't be so afraid about negative reviews. Yeah. You know, go to Walmart. They have plenty of negative reviews online. Go to Sears. You can name any store in the world, Applebee's. It doesn't matter. Once you get to a certain level of success, you're going to have the people who love you. And then they're going to have the people who are not too inclined and they want to tell everybody. But I always look at overall. Like if you look at my social media, overall, most people like me. So that's my thoughts. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Rosalind.
Thank you so much for having me. I definitely, just real fast, definitely agree with what you're saying. You know, one thing that I learned too is not every client is a good client, and that's okay. You know, it's okay to say, hey, you know what? I don't think our services are the right fit for you all. Okay, they can find somebody else, and that's okay. But yeah, as my takeaway, I think for anyone here who is seeking to be a business owner or is a business owner, I think what I think about in business and as an entrepreneur, we hear the word success, right? But I really think we need to change that. I think that so many business owners strive to be successful, which I think is good, but I believe that we should seek to be a value, because I believe that when we seek to be a value, success will naturally follow. Success can often be self-focused, and I know because I'm a very A-driven person. But again, when we seek to add value and seek to, you know, be others focused, I really do believe that success will naturally follow in your business. So that's just a good takeaway. And then hopefully it's okay, shameless plug here, but this is my Clean Starter magazine. I'm now an editor in chief. And so it's coming live on PWI and in mobile apps at the end of this week. I have incredible contributors from all over the globe, as well as cleaning business owners highlighting their businesses. But again, a great way to bring that community in the cleaning industry to elevate that. So
I love it. Congratulations. Awesome. So proud of you taking yet another step. So you'll be at 120-hour work week. Jennifer, what do you have for us?
I just wanted to say that I think that if there's anyone that's watching right now that is suffering with an issue with your skin and you are so frustrated, I think that you need to understand that you're not alone. There are so many other people that are in your shoes, that you are wasting so much money. You're going from place to place to place, buying whatever it is that they're selling you on Instagram and YouTube and on the television, and you're just not getting what you need. There are people out there. There's a company like mine, like jenniferbradley.com, where you can get a solution and also have very, very good pricing. We actually sell directly to consumers to where they can get up to 40% off of medically formulated product, which is unheard of and unparalleled in this industry with the very best customer service. And I want everybody that's watching today, I want all of you to take a moment to acknowledge that, yes, as Rosalind says, you are valuable. You are valuable. The world needs you and wants you to be happy. And I want all of you to take that moment and also to find what makes you happy and do things, do something special for you. Do something special for you. Find that thing that makes you feel good about yourself, even if it's just taking an extra 10 minutes in the shower or taking an extra 10 minutes just to make yourself feel good, or listen to the right music that makes you happy. These are just little simple things that can make your whole day. It can change your whole day from one way to another, just like that.
Yes, just like that. Thank you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Belle, what did you think of today's show?
I absolutely loved it. I always get so much from being part of the panel, from the other guests, and it was an extra honor to be part of the International Women's Day celebration this morning. So thank you so so much for having me as a guest again. I'm already looking forward to the next time I'll be here. And as I mentioned at the beginning, because I get so much from this community, I wanted to make sure I had an opportunity to give back. So we talked a lot about some of the systemic themes, making sure that we are responding with integrity. And one way to do that internally in your organization is to make sure you understand how work is being done. And process maps are a great way to do that. So if you're interested, please reach out to me through my website. The website is under revision, so there's less detail about process mapping on the site than there will be. So just use that contact information if you're ready to learn more. It's bellevueconsulting.com. It'll be in the show notes.
Yes, and we had a great show today, International Women's Day. Great comments. So I definitely invite all of you lovely young ladies to visit the comments. I want to end the show on one of the things that Abby Moncure said. She said, know your value, then add tax. And that's what I want all of you women to understand and remember. Know your value and then add tax. So I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. It doesn't mean we don't need your support, because we do. We still need you to watch the show, tune into the show, and share the show. But we need you to go ahead and support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to help you, to provide their journey, their expertise. So support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But again, don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Don't just visit the website. Follow our guests on social media. Reach out to them. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you.